You're listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks, your source for centered and focused play therapy coaching.
Hi, I'm Dr. Brenna Hicks, the kid counselor. This is the Play Therapy Podcast, where you get a masterclass in child-centered play therapy and practical support and application for your work with children and their families. In today's episode, we are discussing the final family and nurturing theme, and that is adult activity theme. So again, similar to last week, pretty self-explanatory. I don't know that it's difficult to understand what adult activity theme looks like. But essentially, when a child moves into adult activity theme, and I guess my disclaimer before I get into this explanation is this really happens less frequently than most of these other nurturing and family themes. And this really only happens with a certain type of child. So a child that has been extremely parentified, meaning they are an only child, for example, and they spend a lot of time around adults, you will see this kind of play. You will also see this kind of play from children of single parent homes, because when there are not two parents, one parent has to do all of the work, and therefore they have to work full-time and caregive full-time and parent full-time, and lives are just hectic and busy. And so often the child will play out adult activities because they are forced to see it all the time because there's no one else that can step in and watch them when the parent needs to do those adult type of activities. So you typically see it in those types of scenarios for your clients. And you'll also sometimes see it in kids that really wish they were older. They just have this pervasive desire to be older than they are. It's kind of like the 6 going on 16 kind of kid. So often you will see the adult activity theme come out in kids like that as well. So that was my little disclaimer before we get into the explanation, because it's not a super common theme, but you do see it in certain types of kids pretty frequently. So any activities in play that are clearly associated with adult behavior. So going on dates, putting on makeup, drinking alcohol, smoking, working, driving, having adult conversations on the phone, anything that is very clearly an adult activity, and they are duplicating that in their play. So I have kids that will speak in their, I'm air quoting, adult voice, you know, so they'll say, "You're going to have to hold on, honey. I'm doing work right now." Or they, you know, click their nails on the shelf and say that they're typing on their computer and they're working, you know. So cooking dinner is another one. And again, still part of nurturing and caregiving theme, even if it's not about adult activity. Cooking just falls under that category as well. But specifically, if it is an adult cooking for the entire family. So anything that you would typically understand that the child perceives as an adult behavior, that is the adult activity theme. So what can that potentially mean for the child? As I mentioned before, certain kids are really just dying to be older than they are, and they get really preoccupied with adult-like behavior. Like I said, only children who have single-parent homes, they tend to do that. And why, though? The why matters, right? We talk about that a lot. When kids get preoccupied with adult activities, it's almost always driven by wanting to have more power and therefore having what they perceive as a safer world. Because the more power you have, the less vulnerable you are, and therefore the less vulnerable you are, the safer you feel. So there's always a deeper root to kids that are preoccupied with being older and being more adult-like in their behavior. It's almost always because they really want more control, and therefore it gives them a more steady grounding upon which they can kind of settle their world. So that is one potential meaning. Another one is if the parent pushes the child to take on a lot of adult responsibilities. So oldest kids get thrown into this scenario quite often. So mom or dad or caregiver is really busy with a whole bunch of kids. And so the oldest child is basically expected to do more adult-like activities. So you definitely have that kind of scenario as well, where they've just been kind of forced into those behaviors, and then they play them out in the playroom. So if they've become parentified, it's essentially because they're trying to meet the parents' needs, and they become kind of people-pleasing, and therefore then they're playing out adult activities in the playroom. And then a final potential meaning is that the child has kind of identified or connected with either an older sibling or an adult and really, really wants to emulate them, wants to be accepted by them, wants their approval, wants them to like them. So they think that the way that they accomplish that is to engage in behaviors similar to those behaviors of that person. So if you have an older sibling that drives, if you have an older sibling that goes on dates, if you have a parent that works a lot, if you have a parent that is, you know, always getting ready to go out and talking on the phone, and you really are seeking approval and acceptance from that individual, you will copy their behaviors and emulate what they do so that it seems like there's more of a connection there. And obviously, there's a sense, again, of safety and comfort here, right? Because the older I am and the more I can emulate this person, the more my world feels safe. And it's a comfort to be liked by somebody that you idolize. And so even circling back to the first one where I said that sometimes they become preoccupied with adult activities, they really want to have more power and therefore feel safer. That actually carries into this one as well when they identify with somebody, because they perceive that person as in full control, in full power, fully capable of handling anything. And therefore, they don't feel at the mercy of their circumstances. They don't feel that they're a victim. They don't feel vulnerable. And so all of that is closely tied to that adult activity theme that you may see in the playroom. So hope that is helpful. I wanted to make you aware, every once in a while, I kind of give you some off-topic news, and I think I've mentioned it in a couple of episodes, but more and more frequently, I have a lot of therapists that are either in the year-long training program with me or even just listeners that are emailing me. I have so many of you who are consistently asking about resources to give to parents, resources to help the families with whom they're working. And just in case you might have stumbled upon this podcast and don't really know about some of the other options that I've put out in the way of content, I have a Play Therapy Parenting podcast that is geared specifically for parents, but it is also very clearly and succinctly through the lens of the child-centered play therapy model and tenets and belief system. So often I will address a child-centered play therapy topic directly, or other times I will address a parenting topic through the lens of the child-centered play therapy model. So I want to make you all aware of that. If you have not already, please check that out. And not that you need my permission, but I feel sometimes people are hesitant unless they know that it's fully supported. I want you to know, as a therapist, as a trainer, as an educator, as a podcaster, everything that I do is to evangelize play therapy, specifically the child-centered approach. Everything I do is to make sure that we have a world full of happy kids that become happy adults. I would love for you to share the episodes in this podcast. I would love for you to share the episodes in the Play Therapy Parenting podcast. I have blog articles on my website. I have videos that I've put out that are on YouTube. I have a library of resources, and you are more than welcome to use those. So if you don't feel equipped to explain reflecting feelings to a parent yet, defer to my podcast, defer to my articles, defer to things I've already put out there. If you're not really sure how to explain, never do for a child that which they can do for themselves, one of our rules of thumb, use mine. I give you full permission. Again, not that you need it. I just want you to know I don't think that I need to keep that to myself, and I have any proprietary control over it. So please use it. Make parents aware of it. Make your family and friends and whomever you think would benefit from it aware of it. That is why it's out there. It is to help evangelize play therapy, and it is to help kids and parents navigate life and make sure that kids are the happiest that they can be. So if you haven't checked out that other podcast, Play Therapy Parenting, it's available. That actually has more episodes than this one. This one is getting really close, and I've only been doing this one for a year, but I'm putting out so much more content. So this is getting close in episodes, but there are, I want to say, 140 or so episodes in the Play Therapy Parenting podcast. So there's all kinds of resources there, and you can just scroll and find things that you think are appropriate. And I've talked about all kinds of things, such as discussing terminal illness and death, and what do you do when your pet dies, and how do you have difficult conversations? What do you do when a child says, "I hate my life"? I mean, really relevant content for raising kids in this generation. So please use it. It is there for your use, and take advantage of that so that you're not spinning your wheels when it's already been done. Now, if you happen to love content creation and you love teaching and training and speaking and educating, start your own library, start blogging, start making videos, start doing a podcast. We need more of this in the world. So if that's your bent and that's your wheelhouse, go for it. And, you know, I'll be here to support you. But if you're not there yet, please feel free to use my stuff. I'd be happy to share. I'm grateful for each and every one of you. Thank you for being a part of the Play Therapy Podcast family. We'll talk again soon. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks. For more episodes and resources, please go to www.playtherapypodcast.com.